Hi there, and welcome to session 36 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and today is the day that I take your questions. Now, this week we have a diverse amount of questions, but the thing is that they're all common questions that I've had listeners ask. I think you're going to be blown away by some of the interesting information that you'll learn today. A million thanks to everyone who submitted, and due to time limitations, I can only take a few questions. But if your question wasn't answered today, rest assured I've taken note and I'll try to answer them in our next episode. Just as a reminder, if you would like to submit a question, you can shoot me an email at editor@thefrugalchicken.com or contact me over social media. You can find me on Facebook at thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook. Now, this podcast today is sponsored by my Healthy Coop Bootcamp. And if you're new to chickens, or maybe you're an old hand and you want to try something fun, I have a 15-day boot camp that's called the Healthy Coop Bootcamp. You can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com, and each day you'll get an email chock full of information that you need to know to raise happy, healthy chickens. If you're not sure what to do with chicks when you get them home, or want to switch feeds, or if you're interested in raising chickens naturally with things like herbs, then my bootcamp is for you. Healthy Coop Bootcamp is completely free, and again, you can sign up at healthycoopbootcamp.com. So now moving on to our questions. The first question is about the difference between medicated and non-medicated chicken feed, and the listener asked, isn't giving medicated feed just giving my chickens an antibiotic all the time? And I see a lot of misinformation out there about chick starter, and that's what we're talking about, non-medicated chick starter versus medicated chick starter. So I wanted to take this opportunity to sort of address some of the things that I see floating around out there, some of the misinformation I see floating around, and set the record straight on what the difference and what the deal really is with medicated and non-medicated chicken feed. So the difference between non-medicated and medicated chicken feed is that medicated chicken feed has something called amprolium in it. All right, so what this is, it's something called a coccidiostat, and basically all that means is that it is something to help the chicks build up an immunity to parasites that naturally occur in the soil. So amprolium actually is not an antibiotic in any sense of the word. It's something completely different. It's something to help them build up an immunity to parasites. So amprolium works by blocking the thymine transporter of parasites that cause coccidiosis. So with chicks, you might have heard, and with chickens in general, you might have heard about something called coccidiosis, which is a parasite infection that happens in their gut. So the way that this drug works is it blocks the thymine transporter of these parasites, and it prevents them from synthesizing carbohydrates, which eventually leads to death. So that's really what's going on with amprolium. Now, whether you give medicated or unmedicated chick starter is completely up to you. Some people prefer to go completely natural and not give the medicated chick starter, and that's perfectly fine. Whereas some people, you know, personally, I prefer to give chicks the medicated chick starter. And the reason for that is, you know, baby chicks are extremely fragile, and it really doesn't take a whole lot to sort of knock their homeostasis off. You know, for example, if they don't get enough to eat, or if they get too much to eat, it can cause problems with organ development. If they eat the wrong thing, it can, you know, block their gizzard from, you know, doing its job. So there's enough going against baby chicks in the world that for me personally, I prefer to give them the medicated chick starter and know that I'm at least helping them build up an immunity to parasites in the soil. But again, whichever way you decide to go with it, you know, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, completely up to you and what's best for your flock. But just understand that that major difference between medicated and non-medicated chicken feed is that one has amprolium in it and one doesn't. Now, the next question that we have is, how many chickens of one breed should I get? Do some breeds just not get along? Now, the bottom line here is that you can get one of each breed in the world, or you can, you know, get two of each breed in the world. It doesn't matter. What matters is that your chickens have company in the form of other chickens or turkeys or whatever. We have a turkey that lives with chickens, and they do fine together. But the breed is not as much of an issue as them having friends. So if you're going to go off and get chickens, you want to get at least two, so that, you know, the one chicken has a friend and the other chicken, you know, you get the point. You know, getting one chicken is never a good idea. Now, when it comes to do some breeds just not get along, there are definitely breeds out there that are more feisty than other breeds. Let's put it that way. For example, we've had some black Copper Morand roosters and some blue Copper Morand roosters, actually, that just don't get along with other breeds very well. But for the most part, you know, most of the chickens we have on our property, you know, and they're all different breeds, get along just fine. So it doesn't matter if you get more than one of a particular breed. What matters is the total number of chickens you have altogether. If there are different breeds, you know, if every single chicken you have is a different breed, then that's perfectly fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to get along with the other chickens, or, you know, that there's going to be some sort of a conflict. That's just not going to happen. They might not get along, but that's probably not because of the breed. It's probably some sort of pecking order thing. But, you know, so if you want to get 10 different breeds with 10 different chickens, you know, go right ahead. There's not going to be any problems with that. Now, that being said, I would personally stay away from game bird breeds. And the reason why is that the roosters from those breeds tend to be very aggressive. But as far as, you know, your traditional chicken breeds that, you know, you might find in a hatchery catalog, most of those are going to get along perfectly well. And in my experience, it's really up to more what the individual bird is like rather than what breed it is. Now, our next question is about incubating eggs. And we're getting quite a bit of these questions lately because everyone has chickens that have started to lay eggs, so everyone wants to incubate their eggs now. But the question is, should I wash manure off eggs before incubating them? And the answer to this is a big fat no. And the reason why is that when a egg is laid, it has a protective barrier around it. It's called the bloom. And you might have heard about the bloom, or maybe not, but what the bloom does is it protects the interior of the shell from external bacteria coming inside the shell and, you know, potentially destroying the contents of the shell. And it's the way that the egg protects the life that could be born inside of it, if that makes any sense. So eggs are naturally fairly porous in order to allow for an exchange of oxygen as the embryo is growing in there. And if you wash off that protective bloom, you're, you know, putting it in a situation where bacteria could get into it, right? So you understand what I'm saying. Washing the manure off is a very bad idea. So if you're concerned about the manure being on it when you put it in the incubator, I personally wouldn't worry about it too much. You're going to do more damage trying to take the manure off than leaving the manure on, specifically if you are looking to incubate them. Now, if you're looking to eat the eggs, obviously, you know, wash them all you want to and then put them in the refrigerator and then, you know, eat them before you eat any other egg that might have the bloom still on it. But if you're looking to incubate them, then you just want to leave it alone before, you know, putting it in the incubator. So our next question is about roosters, and roosters seem to be a pretty popular topic to ask questions about. So the question is, what is a good age to butcher a rooster? Now, you can butcher a rooster at any age. It's completely up to you. You know, if you have a aggressive rooster in your backyard and you don't want to deal with it anymore, and you don't, you know, want to take the chance of fighting it at home or something, or, you know, you have chickens for meat, then any age will work. And again, the age to butcher a rooster is largely breed dependent. For example, Cornish crosses, regardless of whether it's a hen or a rooster or a pullet or a rooster, you're going to want to butcher them around, you know, 10 weeks of age. And that's, again, breed dependent because they grow so big, so fast that really waiting any longer is not beneficial to the individual chicken. It's not really beneficial to you. So 10 weeks of age for that breed is a good age. Now, if you're talking about a heritage breed, for example, a Rhode Island Red or a Plymouth Rock, then you're going to want to wait a lot longer. You know, for example, that breed is good to butcher around 6 or 7 months. You know, you can do it at 4 months. They're going to be a little bit smaller. These are more slower growing breeds, but, you know, 7 months is a good age. Now, the longer you wait, you know, for example, if you have a rooster in your backyard that's 4 years old, it's going to be tougher. If you have chickens for meat, and your intent is to grow them and then butcher them for the meat, then the sooner you do it, the better. So, like I said, around 6, 7, 8 months is a good age. They haven't been around long enough to get tough. You know, the more that they're in your yard and running around, the more that they work the muscles in their body, which is what actually makes meat tough. You know, if they've been around for 3 years, you know, they've had more than enough time to work all those muscles and make them tough and stringy. And then you have to boil it or, you know, brine it or whatever. But 6, 7 months is a good age. Now, if you do it again earlier than that, like I said, you're looking at having a smaller rooster. And that's perfectly fine for some people. You know, some people only want, you know, a 3 or 4 pound rooster, you know, to eat. But if you want to have a good weight and a good age where it's still tender, 6 or 7 months is a good time to do it. Now, that being said, if you have a breed such as a Jersey Giant, you know, they get very big. They can get to be 13 or 14 pounds. The roosters can, at least. The hens will be, you know, 10 or so pounds. And one of the reasons why Jersey Giants were developed was to actually replace turkeys. So they were bred specifically to be slightly faster growing and to grow heavier. So a Jersey Giant, for example, might be ready at around 4 or 5 months, you know, at a decent weight. You know, decent meaning, you know, it might be 8 or 9 pounds. Whereas if you waited a few more months, it would be 13 pounds. But, you know, again, this is just another example to show you that the good age to butcher the rooster is largely breed dependent. So I would really look at the breed you're trying to raise and, you know, really take it from there as to what age you want to butcher them. But just remember, the heritage breeds are going to take you a little bit longer. And honestly, you know, unless you are bent on raising a heritage breed chicken for your meat, you know, and that, if you are, that's fine. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. We personally raise a number of heritage chickens on our farm, specifically for their meat, actually. But if you are looking to raise chickens for meat, I don't really recommend the heritage breeds, largely because they do take so long to grow out. You know, we've had some, we bought them last October. And, you know, it's been several months and they're just now coming to a weight where they're worth butchering. Personally, I would stick to something that's a little bit faster growing than a heritage breed. But again, it's completely up to you what is right for your homestead and, you know, what you are looking to have on your table. There's really no right or wrong answer to this. So our next question is also about roosters. And the question is, what is your solution when you end up with too many roosters? And, you know, it's a good question because, especially if you incubate eggs, you know, you have a 50-50 shot of getting a rooster. So, you know, if your goal is to keep hens for their eggs and you're not really so concerned about the meat, you know, you're going to end up with the question of what do you do with all of your roosters? So it's a perfectly valid question. Personally, what I do is we either sell them to somebody who wants them for meat or we use them as meat for ourselves. You know, and out of every hatch, we actually do keep a rooster or two that can replace the roosters that are getting older on the farm or that we feel is a really good example of what we're trying to breed. So there's always going to be a couple that we keep just for our own breeding programs. You know, eventually, you know, you're going to have to start calling roosters if you keep doing that. So we do actually keep some for meat. And, you know, if you are going to incubate for, you know, that you have laying hens, at some point you're going to want to get rid of some of your roosters. And I can tell you from experience, you know, we're going through this a little bit right now with all of these meat chickens that we have. When you have too many roosters and they're all coming of age and their hormones kick in, you're going to have problems with them bothering the hens constantly. They're fighting each other constantly. And you're going to get to a point where you're like, okay, I got to get rid of some of these roosters. You know, for example, now they're all competing over the hens. You know, we're very rooster heavy right now and the hens can't get left alone. And we do our best to separate them. At some point, you're definitely going to want to get rid of some roosters. And the simplest method is to butcher them for your table. We have had success selling them to other people. There's a portion of our community here who specifically want heritage breed chickens for, you know, they want heritage breed roosters for their table. They don't want to go to the store and buy a Cornish cross that's been who knows where and injected with who knows what. They specifically are looking for heritage breed meat. So we've been able to dispose of some of our roosters that way. So that is something for you to look at. You know, you have to look at your legislation in your state about whether or not you can sell roosters. The thing we don't do is we don't butcher them for people. We sell them the live animal. And that way we get around some of the regulations, USDA regulations about selling non-USDA inspected meat. So we sell the live roosters to people and then they can go ahead and do whatever they want to with it. But that is definitely one way to get rid of roosters. And like I said, the other way is to eat it yourself. You know, and if you know people in your community that might want a rooster, you know, for example, we have a neighbor down the road who was looking to add some Buff Orpington roosters to her flock, and she wanted to add some Plymouth Rocks to her flock. You know, you might find the occasional person who's looking for a rooster so that they can have their own sustainable flock. But again, the most immediate solution to it, the fastest solution to it, is to call them yourself for your own table. All right, so that is today's episode. Thanks for listening to it, and I hope that it helps you, you know, raise your chickens a little bit better and answers some of your questions about roosters. And again, I just wanted to remind you about Healthy Coop Boot Camp. It is completely free, and each day you will get a video about a different topic about chickens that will help you raise your flock as well. So again, you can sign up for that at healthycoopbootcamp.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.